Blessing.
Blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 106, stanzas 1 through 6. What wait I for but thee? My hope is in thy name. From all my sins deliver me, nor put my soul to shame. As Psalter 106, stanzas 1 through 6. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 13 through verse 31. Luke 16, verses 13 through verse 31. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 16, beginning with verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. For it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, thy long suffering is so great over us and over our children, to permit us to remain even to this moment in this day, when our lives do testify that we have turned our backs to thee, and we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, and continually, then it is evident that there is no fear of God before our eyes. O Lord, instruct thou us in thy great goodness, in thy long-suffering mercies, that it might lead us yet to repentance, when we may see that thou still stretchest forth thine hand, and that thy word does still come unto us, read and preached, and that it may break our hard and wretched hearts, that thou art so good and so long-suffering to such wretched, miserable creatures as we are. But it is a long-suffering. Oh, we can read it. We have read it together out of thy holy word. It is a long-suffering that is going to come to an end. And then, what shall it be for us and for our dear children when nothing that we have heard, when nothing that we have read was able to make an impression, to make us to flee, to make us to hasten for the sake of our life. Lord, give us instruction. We cannot, one of us, give that impression that we stand in need of. We can study, and we can give ourselves by study what we the knowledge in our mind. But we cannot bring it one bit into our hearts. We need to be converted. Lord, we need to be born again. We need thy Spirit to work within us and in our dear children. We beseech it of thee this day, this very day, in this very afternoon hour. Strike us with an arrow of thy heavenly bow. And wilt thou give that we may go away from here, thy house of prayer, by the power of thy Spirit, different than we have come in. May it be with a deep impression that we have to die, and that we cannot die, and that we so may begin to seek for that mediator, that Savior for our soul, and that can only deliver us, that can only bring us again into that blessed favor of the Father, Him who is our Creator, He who is offended because we have rebelled. Lord, instruct thou us, O come thou, thou who hast all the power in the heavens and in the earth. O to whom else can we go? Wilt thou remember us for thy name's sake, and give that thy word may be quick and powerful, and that we may be quickened from the dead. Look on all the afflicted ones. Be with the widow and all the widows in all their affliction, sorrow, missing, and pain. Oh, supply for them in all their needs, and all the afflicted and weary ones that must experience more in this world of the results of our sin. Oh, uphold in all the difficult ways of this life when there is trouble between husbands and wives, or when there is trouble within families, with children. Oh, thou alone who wast able to bring together again the father with his rebellious children. Oh, thou who hast brought them again into such a blessed union and communion. Oh, wilt thou do it also in the midst of families where husbands and wives are separated from one another with divisions, deep scars and wounds, all that thou alone can heal. Oh, give self-denial, give love, and have mercy upon us for this short life. It is a life of preparation. Oh, give us to feel something of it, and that all the things of this world, that they may not come in the foreground, also the labors. Lord, and then we must do our work, each one in our place in this life, and it will become so busy. And now when the season begins, and when those that must work the fields and must go out to do their labors again, wilt thou bless the work of our hands upon us, and wilt thou remember us yet also for the needs of the body, but that the need of the soul may take the preeminence, and that our treasures may not be here below, but that they might be with thee in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break not through to steal. O give to all those that are afflicted to be supplied from above, those that have not enough in this life, food, drink, shelter, and all the necessities of life. Remember those that are torn by war in their countries, in their own lands. Wilt thou supply also for them? Be with all that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Oh, remember the cause of thy kingdom. Put away the power and the devices of the prince of darkness. And wilt thou give that thy kingdom may come from the east and from the west? Be with all that rule and reign over us, and the judges of our land, in their very responsible and accountable positions in this life. Oh, give them the fear of thy holy name in their hearts, and give them to judge and to rule in accordance with thy holy word. Remember thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world. Oh, could it please thee to increase their number also amongst us, Lord? Oh, give, if it could please thee, men who are truly converted, men who are truly sent by thee into thy vineyard in the time that lies before us, oh, that thou may remember us as a denomination when we have so far departed from thy ways, and when thy truth is also under the attack of the prince of darkness among us, and when we have allowed the world to come into our hearts and into our lives, Lord, we deserve that thou would leave us altogether to ourselves. But could it please thee to build up the walls of Zion and to have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath? Remember the mission field and all that labor thereon. And wilt thou strengthen them, bless the work of their hands. And wilt thou go with us again in this afternoon hour? Oh, we are so dependent in the speaking, but also in the hearing upon thy Holy Spirit, that thou would come, and wilt thou give a token of thy presence and the evidence of thy favor by thy application in the heart of this people. Oh, that thou thyself may be the laborer in our midst, and that it may be experienced in our hearts and lives together. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 437. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. No longer, Lord, despise me, nor in thy wrath chastise me. Thy mercy I implore. How long thine anger cherish? Consumed thereby I perish. My soul is troubled sore. We announce that there will be a consistory meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30, that Ariane Janssen and Beverly Den Hollander hope to be united in marriage on May 2, 2007. Any lawful objections must be brought to the consistory in a signed written statement. The last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund. Psalter 437, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Congregation, we are as we are born in this world, traveling on the broad road, not on the narrow way, but on the broad way. And that broad way has an end, and that end is hell. That means when nothing takes place in our life between the cradle and the grave, that we have read together where our end shall be. We have read together that it is a place where there shall not be the least mercy. One drop of water that will be too much to give in hell. Not one smallest portion of relief. We read of that rich man, that he may receive in that awful, awful place. That is now the place to which you and I are fast hastening. When nothing has taken place in our life, that is now the place that you and I can expect to come. We read here, that is not our word, that is the word of the God who cannot lie, how that also that desire that there will be a message sent even from eternity to the brethren, an earnest message that they would never come to this place, that they would hasten for the sake of their life. That shall be denied. That the Lord says that if we heed not what we are given in our life, that if we heed not His word that is read by us, that is preached by His servants, that it would not change us, though someone would stand here that had risen from the dead. So hard, so cold, so impressionless you and I are of ourselves. And what is now in the life of God's true people, the greatest misery that they see will be experienced in that place, that is, that there they shall be forever and forever separated from the Lord. Then it is not the outward pain which they would have to suffer in their body, because we read there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and not even also the gnawing in the conscience of that worm that shall never die, but without hope, forever and forever, to be separated from that God whom they have come to love. Oh, what is that eternity that is coming for you and for me? Oh, there has been a work that has been accomplished for the sake of the salvation of hell-deserving people. And what is that work? That work is what we have read together out of our confession. And what we read every Sabbath day, that he descended into hell. Will that be for you and for me? We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you in this afternoon hour, from our Lord's Day 16, question number 44. Lord's Day 16, question number 44. Why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer, that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies, in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. So far, our Lord's Day. The article concerning Christ's descension into hell. First, the meaning of this article. Second, the importance of this article. And third, the comfort of this article. The article concerning Christ's descension into hell. First, the meaning of this article. Second, the importance of this article. And third, the comfort of this article. This article, congregation, he descended into hell, is not written in most of our ancient creeds. In the Athanasius Creed it is written, but there we do not read of his burial. In the Nicene Creed we read of his burial, but not of his descent into hell. But in the Apostolic Creed, we read both of these articles. This is an article that has been subject to much controversy over the many centuries within the church. And there are different views concerning what this article really means. Some think that the Lord Jesus actually descended into hell. That is the position of the Church of Rome. They say that the Lord Jesus descended into hell for two reasons. That is, in the first place, that he may deliver the Old Testament fathers from the place which they call the Limbus Patrum. That is, that they maintain that all of those of God's true children, thus Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they died, did not go directly to heaven. Why not? Because they say that was not possible yet because the Lord Jesus did not yet suffer and die, that it was not yet carried out, that the redemption of that church was still not finished, and therefore it was impossible for God's children to enter yet into their eternal abode. And so that they have gone into a place called this Limbus Patrum, which they say is a sort of porch of hell. That is a place supposedly that there were no joys of heaven and there were no torments of hell experienced. This, however, we can easily refute out of the Word of God, because we have read about the Lord Jesus speaking about this parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And then he has said that Lazarus, he has gone into the bosom of Abraham. It does not say here that Abraham is in heaven, but he has gone into his bosom. However, we do read here that the rich man, he has lifted up his eyes and he has seen him afar off. That means it was far away. Then we read also of the reply of Abraham, that there was between them a great gulf fixed. Thus, it is impossible that Abraham was in some kind of a porch of hell, because there had been no great gulf fixed between these two. No, that great gulf that is fixed, that is between that place of eternal glory and that place of outer darkness. Thus, the Old Testament fathers, those who have died before the coming and the suffering of the Lord Jesus, they have gone directly to heaven. How is that possible? Well, it is possible because of that Lamb we read, who was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus did not actually die before the foundation of the world. But who was it that died? That was God Himself. It is that God who cannot lie. And thus, it is impossible but that suffering and death had to be accomplished. And therefore, there was no reason that the Old Testament saints could not immediately enter into their eternal place. The second reason that Rome says that the Lord Jesus descended actually into hell is that he may deliver the souls that have gone into purgatory. Purgatory being a place where some of the sins of God's people after their death need to still be purged that they may enter into heaven. Congregation, this also can easily be refuted out of the Word of God, because we can read of the thief that the Lord Jesus testified to him, and that in that very day he would be in the place of eternal bliss. And then he had nothing that still needed to be purged, but that death and that suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient to take away every sin of that man and of the people of the Lord. It is not a half a salvation, no, but it is a complete, a full salvation which is wrought for that church in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there are also the Lutherans. The Lutherans believe that the Lord Jesus also descended actually into hell, but they say that was for a different purpose. That was so that he may proclaim his victory over death and over hell. They also use the Holy Scripture to back their position. One of those places is found in 1 Peter 4, verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So they say that the gospel was preached to them that are dead. Then they say that the Lord Jesus went after his death into hell, and he preached the gospel to those that were dead. Congregation that is simply not justified here by this word of God. It says here that the gospel, it says, for this cause was the gospel preached to them that are dead. That is, that the gospel was preached to them that are now dead, but that at that time they were alive. There is no need that the gospel be preached to one who is now dead, because when we are dead, then that tree has fallen. And whether that is to the north or to the south, there it shall be. There is another place that they speak of. It reads thus, 1 Peter 3, for Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Thus they say that he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, that is, that he preached the gospel to those who were in hell when he descended into that place. But again, it cannot be justified, because here is speaking of the Spirit of the Lord that was preaching through Noah, it says. When Noah was preaching for 120 years, by that same Spirit of God by which the Lord Jesus himself was raised from the dead. That was the time, it says here, of the long suffering of the Lord. It is the time, it says here, that the Lord waited in that day. There are others who do not believe that the Lord Jesus has actually descended into hell at all. And we, congregation, are among those who also believe thus. And why is it that there are so many different opinions about this article concerning the descending of the Lord Jesus into hell, and then all supposedly based on that same word of God? Well, that is because that word hell, that is used in different ways, in different senses, in the very word of God itself. And even the very translation of that word is sometimes bringing some confusion. Sometimes that word is used to mean simply the grave. Jacob says, "Then ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." We read that same original word, however, translated into the word hell. So not grave, but hell. But in its meaning, in its context, it is referring to the grave. David writes, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Then he writes, then it is translated hell, but and then he does not mean hell, the actual place, hell, no, but he means that the Lord will not leave him in the grave. And at other times, this same word is used to mean the place of the damned. That is what we have read together concerning that place of the rich man. In hell, we read, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Thus, sometimes the grave, thus sometimes also hell. But also, sometimes, a third meaning, simply meaning a most extreme distress and anguish. David writes, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me." Then he did not mean that it was actually the pains of hell, but he is speaking about being so distressed, that he was speaking about being in a great torment. Hannah writes, "The Lord bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." So here translated into the word grave, and she says, then bringeth up from the grave. Then she does not mean that the Lord actually gives to die and then to be resurrected again, but she says that the Lord he brings sometimes into great distresses in our life, and then he delivers out of those great distresses. And we can see how that Hannah had known this in her life. Thus, these original words, they are being used in different senses in the Scriptures themselves. Thus, for us, when we must give an interpretation to what our fathers have written, "He descended into hell," then it's necessary for us to consider, what did our fathers actually mean when they made this confession? So, did they mean, for example, that when they said the Lord Jesus descended into hell, did they mean that the Lord Jesus died and was buried? Well, we cannot believe that our fathers meant this. And why not? Because the confession is very short. And when we have such a short confession, then we are not typically making repetitions. And then it has already been said that the Lord Jesus was buried, and there would be no need to repeat themselves. So we cannot believe that to descend into hell, then it was meant by them that the Lord Jesus was buried, as it was already stated. And not only so, but when we do make repetitions, then it is usual for us to say what is the clearest, the last. In other words, when they had said that the Lord Jesus was buried, then this was very, very clear, and it is not necessary to clarify this further,
Neither would we clarify this with something which was not so clear to say about it that he descended into hell. Thus, we cannot believe that our fathers meant that the Lord Jesus has simply been buried by this statement. We also cannot believe that they have spoken about the Lord Jesus actually descending into that place of the damned. How was it possible that the Lord Jesus would descend to that place? Would he descend there in his divinity? Well, in his divinity, the Lord Jesus is everywhere present. Did he descend there in his body? Well, we know that the Lord Jesus, his body that lay for those 3 days in the grave. Did he descend there in his soul? We know that before that he died, that he committed his soul unto his Father. Thus, we cannot believe that the Lord Jesus has actually descended into hell. And therefore, we believe that with this our fathers have meant that a third meaning, that it is often used in the Holy Scriptures, that by this descending into hell, that the Lord Jesus has suffered the most extreme pains and torments while he was in this world within his soul. That is, that in his suffering, that his soul did suffer the same as what his people would have suffered to that never-ending eternity in their soul within hell. We read that the Lord Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And we read also on the cross how that the Lord Jesus has suffered the absence of his Father's favor and communion, of which we have spoken before. Thus, especially in those places, that the Lord Jesus has suffered that agony which was deserved by his church to that never-ending eternity. It may be asked, why is it that this article, "He descended into hell," that is coming in our confession after the article, and that the Lord Jesus died and was buried, and not before these articles, if that suffering was not had taken place within his life? And why is that? That is because this is not necessarily placed in that order in which it has taken place in the time, but that our fathers are proceeding here in a way of intensity of suffering, that as they are speaking about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are coming down in the graduations and leaving that for last, which suffering of the Lord Jesus was actually the greatest, thus proceeding from the suffering of the body to the suffering of the soul. And that he even gave his soul over to those agonies of the separation from his Father. So from those things that were visible in his suffering to those things that were invisible, from those things, if we might say it that way, that were lighter to those things that were so much heavier. All the things that were outward to those things that were inward. And we cannot fathom what that suffering in the soul of the Lord Jesus was. The congregation, that is why this article is of such a great importance, and we see that in our second thought. It was so necessary that the Lord Jesus would suffer in his soul. And why? Because God's church has sinned in their soul. Or it is not only in the deeds of the flesh. It is not only in the doings of their body, but it is within their thoughts. It is within their minds. It is within that inner being. It is a heart that is corrupt. It is a will which is corrupt. It is the affections of their soul which are corrupt. The bodily suffering of the Lord Jesus all by itself could not pay for the soul sins of that true church of God. Why not? Because the justice of God has to be satisfied. And now what do God's true children actually deserve? That is not only a bodily suffering, but that they deserve an eternal sorrow within their soul. And that is why that it was necessary that this suffering is coming upon that blessed mediator. And therefore, his soul did suffer in agony when it had to bear that full weight of the wrath of the Father against the sin of his church. My soul, exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, when it had to bear the curse of God against the sin of his people, then he has experienced the vengeance of that triune God against sin. Oh, could we only have an impression what sin has brought, when we may see a little what that sin has cost that mediator, both in body and in soul. Oh, could we only live with more of an impression of the awfulness of sin, of the hatred against sin, of the laws condemning of sin. Oh, then perhaps we would be more careful. Oh, the law. That law is demanding that full payment for sin on behalf of that true church of God from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thus, that church, they deserved that eternal sorrow because of sin, an eternal sorrow in their soul. And they deserve what? What else? They deserve that eternal fear, that eternal consternation because of that wrath of God. What does it say in the Word of God? That the wicked will cry on that day. And then it says they will call for the mountains to fall on us and for the hills to cover us. Oh, who can imagine when we will stand there on that last day with our children, and when we will be outside of that blood that needs to be on the doorpost of our hearts, the fear and the consternation, and that fear also had to be suffered by that blessed mediator on behalf of his church. Oh, we see him there. We see him sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling onto the ground. Or if that is what that Son of Man had to suffer, how awful, congregation, shall hell be for us and for our children. But what a comfort. What a comfort in that descending into hell by the Lord Jesus Christ for that true church. Oh, what does that true church deserve? Whom have we chosen? We have chosen the devil. And we deserve the presence of that devil forever and forever. When we would go sometimes into the restaurants in this world and hear the awful music, so that you have to go outside of those doors again, and that you have to say that I felt like I was in the place where the devil was. Congregation, how awful. How awful, awful shall it be for us and our children to come in that place where that devil is. But that is the one with whom that you and I have sided with by nature. And the Lord Jesus therefore had to suffer that presence of that prince of darkness when he was here upon the face of this earth. And then especially within his soul. In the wilderness, then we can read of it, and throughout his whole life, the attacks of the devil, the fierceness of the devil that came against the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the end of his life. It was by the enemy, and it was also by the way of his own friends. It was through hatred, but it was even through sympathy. It was by mockery. It was by scorn. It was by lies. But it was also by weeping women. It was also even by the friendship and the goodness of the heart of his own disciples. Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Get behind me, Satan. Oh, that devil, he has been present with the Lord Jesus. And when it is awful for us, when in this world we are in places where we can feel that the devil is working, and we as sinful creatures, oh, what was it for him, that Holy One of God, to have that devil present with him in this world? And so he had to suffer the hellish agonies on behalf of that true church of God. Oh, what does that church deserve because of sin? Oh, then they deserve that they are forever and forever cast away from that blessed and eternal presence of the Lord. They have forsaken Him. And congregation, then they learn in their life that to be forsaken of Him, that is hell itself. And that also the Lord Jesus has had to suffer, that he may deliver his church from that awful separation from his Father forever and forever. Oh, he experienced that darkness, not only in a natural way, but he experienced that darkness within his own soul. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that is a place, congregation, that he received no answer. No answer. Oh, can we imagine what that shall be? To be in that eternal place where we shall not receive one drop, it says, not one drop of water to cool our tongue, and with all our supplications, not to receive a single answer. Oh, how is it, people of the Lord? When you cannot come into that blessed presence, and when you have to experience just a little bit of that separation from Him, which to you has become unbearable in your life, and then what is it to receive no answer? But it shall not be for you, no, because He has not received an answer in order that you may receive a blessed answer. But let us sing. Let us sing from Psalter 184. 184, 1, 2, 3, and 6. Save me, O God. because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 184.
Why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged, during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. Our instructors speak, congregation, about comfort. That is the whole catechism. that is a book of comfort. But now you and I, we need to be personally included in this comfort. And it does not help us when we will try to include ourselves. No, those men of Bunyan that did climb over the wall, they thought to include themselves. And in so many ways, congregation, we can try to do this, but it is for us no comfort. But when the Lord includes us, oh, then how different that is. When the Lord brings us on the inside, oh, salvation, that is such a great matter. And there are so many that profess to know the Lord Jesus, but there are also those to whom the Lord Jesus says that they will come, and then I will say that I do not know you. Oh, what do we need to hear? Then we need to hear it out of the mouth of the Lord Himself. We need to know, not that we know Him, but we need to know that He knows us. That we are not standing on our own account, but that we are standing on the account of that mediator. Man supposedly wants to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. And congregation, then we do not understand what the depth of our fall in Adam is. We will never choose the true Christ. Never. We despise Him. Who chooses Christ? The lepers choose Him. The blind ones choose Him. The sick ones, the lame ones, the needy ones, they will choose Him. But that is now the place that you and I never will come of ourselves. Why is it that so many people say that the Lord Jesus is just a good example? Because they have no need of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they despise the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one way that you and I choose. That is the way to hell. Our life shows it. Does it not? Did it not in this past week? What is our choice? What are we seeking? We seek to walk in a broad way. And that broad way that ends in an eternal destruction. And therefore, the Lord Jesus says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Did you ever experience that in your life? Do you know what we need to know? Our enmity. Our enmity against God and our enmity against His way of salvation in His only begotten Son. And yet there will be a people, though we are all the same, though no one would make that choice, not one of us, yet there will be a people who will be delivered from that eternal separation. Despite our deep fall, despite our natural choice, despite our enmity, how will that be? It will be because the Father will draw that people. And how does that go? That goes through hell into heaven.
then they will experience in their life what that separation is. Oh, was that separation ever our burden? When shall I come, thy gracious face to see? Is that the burden of our life? Oh, how will that be experienced in our life? It will be experienced in the way of the expectation of hell, in the condemning of ourself. Thus the brothers said, and when they declared that they were verily guilty concerning this thing, then we deserve it. Oh, that is what the thief had to experience. We indeed justly, that is, to be cast away forever and forever. Congregation, that is the people who will be given to cry out of that deep need, to cry out of that misery of separation from the Lord. And that is that people to whom the Lord will reveal Himself in their life. Oh, that is the people for whom the Lord will come and will open His Word and will give them to see Him in all His beauty as that way, that truth, and the life. That way that they can be delivered from that awful punishment and be again received into favor. Oh, may we know that also. We need it, fathers, mothers, young people. Oh, our life that is so, so short. Tomorrow it can be eternity for us. We have seen it in the week gone by, but we are so impressionless. Oh, that revealed Christ in the life of His people, and that is opening a way which they could not see of themselves. Can you not see the way? And yet, that also needs to be applied, that they may receive the assurance of that salvation, in order that that people may die. Because in the revelation of the Lord Jesus, oh, then there is assurance. But it is for the moment. And when the power of it is gone, oh, then the people, they also cannot die. And why not? Because the guilt remains. Oh, then they have seen something of that surety. Then they may have even received a promise from the mouth of that surety. But now that judge has not yet given his sentence. And that is what is necessary, that the people may receive that only comfort in life and death for their own soul. Oh, how much, people of the Lord, do you yearn and do you desire that you may receive that blessed comfort and knowledge in your life? Congregation, there are steps. There are steps in that knowledge of salvation. Not everything is learned in one day by the people of the Lord. It is a lifetime. Oh, we must seek Him, boys and girls, when we are still young, because there is so much that a person needs to learn to know in his life. But how many of us, all of us, oh, we go of ourselves so unconcerned to that brink, to the brink of hell. And what a warning to us is the suffering of that hell for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He had to descend. That will be our lot when we are never engrafted into Him. Oh, does that thought ever make us to tremble? The Lord is warning us in His Word. But if the warnings of the Lord, if they are never wrought upon our soul, oh, how they will burn in our conscience when we also have to enter into that awful, awful place. Oh, why was it that the Lord Jesus has shown that way of salvation? We did not deserve that. He was not compelled to show it to us. It is His goodness that you and I may be here this day under His truth. And if this, if we are going to neglect so great a salvation, oh, then rightly deserved will be that awful place of torment forever and forever. Congregation, the Lord in His Word, and our fathers, they have drawn that out here in our beloved catechism, how that the Lord is leading His own people. Oh, do we also know something of that way? Is that also now our life? That is so, so important. Lay your heart, lay your own life next to the way that our fathers have laid out in our blessed catechism. It is a matter of life and of death. Eternal life and eternal death for every one of us. It is a blessed way. A difficult way for our flesh, yes. But a blessed way. A way we rebel against. Because we do not want to go lost. And we do not want to humble our pride. And we do not want to come in the dust before the Lord. But a blessed way. Why? A way that is giving peace. A way that is giving so much rest. So much comfort, so much consolation. To whom? To those who deserve. Who deserve to go forever and forever lost. People of the Lord, it is the way of your life. It is the way of your experience. It is the way of what? It is the way of the experience of hell, that you may enter into heaven. It is the way of that awful, awful experience of the separation from God. Why? That you may come again into that blessed communion with Him. Oh, may the Lord instruct us. May the Lord urge us Himself by His Spirit to forsake the world, every former friend, and that we may kiss the Son while we are still in the way, that we might need Him, that we may desire Him, and that He may become for us altogether lovely. Amen. Oh, Lord, we can't give it to ourselves or one another. Oh, grant thy blessing. It was a few words. We can but stammer. But, Lord, thou can bring it in our hearts. Oh, it is a matter of life and death for every one of us. What an awful, awful suffering that thy dear Son did experience. Oh, a warning to us how awful it shall be when we have heard it in our life and when it will testify against us. Lord, prevent it, prevent it. Have mercy upon us with our dear children. Forgive everything that was sinful and amiss this day in speaking, in listening, all for but a crumb of a blessing from thee. Wilt thou go with us in this week? Give that thy word may be the thought, may be the meditation of our hearts. And wilt thou help us with our work, that we may be kept from sin, be with the children in school, or wherever that they may receive instruction for this life.
And wilt thou look on those that mourn, and look on those that are afflicted, the child in the hospital, and all and her that must go in also. We ask it. Remember us also tomorrow evening, when as a consistory we hope to meet. Help us, keep us, forgive us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 426, stanzas 1 through 4. I love the Lord, and the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication, inclines his ear, gives strength and consolation in life, in death. My heart will seek his face. 1 through 4 of Psalter 426.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.